Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Center. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the program tonight, ahead of Independence Day, there's been a major terrorist attack on an army camp near Rajouri in Jammu. It's the first such attack on an army camp in 4 years and is, in fact, the second major encounter that army soldiers have found themselves in just the last 24 hours. Two terrorists were eliminated today in the attack on the army camp, but sadly, three soldiers were killed in action. In the other encounter, which took place in Budgam earlier, a top commander of the Lashkar-e-Toyba was eliminated in a joint operation with the police. Sadly, a total of four Indian soldiers have been killed in the last 24 hours or so. Along with a massive haul of improvised explosives, there is a very real concern over the security situation in Jammu and Kashmir. All of this comes at a time, in fact, ahead of Independence Day. What's more, China has placed a hold in the United Nations to get a terrorist, Rauf Azhar, from being sanctioned. The terrorist had a link with the hijack of the Indian Airlines flight IC-814. Once again, China's double standards on terrorism stand exposed. On Left, Right and Center, we are looking at that major terror attack which has taken place on an army camp in the Jammu area, in the Rajouri area, the first such attack in 4 years. In fact, it's the second major encounter that security forces have been involved in Jammu and Kashmir in the last 24 hours. Joining us now for more on this, General VP Malik, the former army chief. Thanks, General Malik, for joining us. You know, it's pretty sad because while there is always a heightened sense of security ahead of Independence Day, this time it's quite clear that the terrorists are intent on striking, not just attacking our soldiers in a camp, but also large quantities of IEDs and a second encounter, which in fact took place earlier on in Budgam. Are we facing a real threat in the next few days in the state?
Well, the threat was always there, and I don't believe it has gone. While we may have taken a right political action in terms of Article 370, as far as the operations are concerned, that continues, because Pakistan continues to follow the same strategy, same tactics as far as cross-border terrorism is concerned. And there are many people even now, both in Jammu as well as in Kashmir, who are prepared to support these terrorists who are coming from outside. Some of them are even getting enrolled in that. So that threat continues. And as far as this last incident which has taken place at near Dral camp in near Nowshera, unfortunate, we lost three soldiers, including one JCO. My heart goes out to them and my condolences to the family. But I think we need more information, which has not yet come. This incident took place early morning. My first question would be whether these people have come across the LOC or are they locals, because we do not know. And this particular place, this location is very close to the line of control.
And you know, sir, senior police officials, General Malik, and we've asked them, have indicated that it's very likely that they did come across, and that these are Pakistani nationals. And they're trying to identify them exactly at this stage. But as I understand it, sir, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, whenever there have been major attacks on army camps themselves, fidayeen attacks, suicide attacks, it's almost always been a direct Pakistani involvement.
Well, fidayeen coming and attacking an army camp is a very, very serious matter indeed, you know. So we have to remain alert. Now, my own feeling is that, you know, actions like this, we need to be proactive as well as have good defensive measure. Now, as far as the defensive measures are concerned, if you recall, some years ago, General Philip Campos had done a board, and in which he had recommended a lot of defensive measures, which unfortunately we have not been able to follow them because of lack of resources. So when there are companies, small units which are located like this, they require much greater security measures than what we have today, particularly where you have the ammunition and, you know, some vulnerable things lying close by. So that is as far as the defensive measures are concerned. I also feel that proactive measures are not adequate. you know, although there is a ceasefire today, but the ceasefire means nothing if these people can come across from the other side of the LOC. So we need to have some proactive measures across the line of control ourselves. I'm not too sure whether we have got those adequate measures. Now their drones are coming, dropping rifles.
So proactive measures across the line of control. Are you suggesting that India militarily retaliate for this incident near Rajouri today?
Yes. Military is not the only way. There are intelligence agencies. They should also be capable of doing, you know. And I'm talking in terms of having more agents on the other side, getting more information from the other side, and wherever required to be able to target their camps, particularly which are close to the line of control. Now, this kind of a thing can be done both by the intelligence agencies as well as, and also by the military when required, if and when required. We have taken some steps in the last few years, and I suppose we will have to continue to take those steps.
You know, General, here's a bit of a worry, because in as much as we are speaking about Pakistan today, the link between China and Pakistan and terrorism is something which comes up and in diplomatic circles at the level of the United Nations over and over again. And perhaps it's time we started discussing it. Let me give you an example of what's happened. In fact, just in the last 24 hours, China has shielded a Pakistani terrorist once again. They placed a hold on Rauf Azhar's sanctioning. Let's have that graphic out if we can. Rauf Azhar is a very, a lethal terrorist, somebody who's been involved in IC-814 in the United Nations. China placed a hold on an effort to have this man designated as an international terrorist. That sanctioning process, which India was pushing with its allies, was stopped. Sources say that this is a clear reference to China's doublespeak and double standards. Who is Rauf Azhar? Abdul Rauf Azhar is the deputy chief of the Jaish-e-Mohammed. The JEM is a proscribed terror group. He's the younger brother of Masood Azhar. He was involved in the planning and execution of numerous terrorist attacks in India, the hijacking of the IC-814 aircraft way back in 1999, the attack on our parliament in 2001, the attack on the Indian Air Force base in Pathankot in 2016. So what has China's track record been in blocking efforts to get these people named international terrorists? They've done this earlier also. In June this year, they placed on hold Abdul Rahman Makki of the Lashkar-e-Toyba. And over a decade, they put four technical holds on the sanctioning of the terror mastermind Masood Azhar. General Malik, your thoughts?
Vishnu, you are right. Asghar, I think, has always been number two to the head of Jaish-e-Mohammed. And he continues to be. And as far as the Chinese and Pakistani tie-up is concerned, let there be absolutely no doubt that Pakistan and China are allies, are total allies today as far as national security matters are concerned. And we should not expect anything better than what they are doing. And we have to work that we have to take that into cognizance all the time when we work out our own strategies, etc.
Yeah.
So to expect China that they will help us in United Nations or anywhere else against Pakistan is absolutely no. We have to take these actions ourselves, whether it is diplomatic action or if these are military actions or non-military actions, intelligence actions, as far as Pakistan terrorism is concerned. The fact is today that Pakistan has not changed at all. It continues to follow the same strategy, the same tactics on cross-border terrorism.
Okay.
We have to take them on ourselves, and we should not expect any help from China, for that matter, sure. Even other countries.
All right. General Malik, always a pleasure speaking to you. Thanks very much. I'm going to open up the discussion at this stage to Ranbir Singh Pathania of the BJP, Major General Yash Mor, and Ifra Jan, the spokesperson of the National Conference. Ranbir Singh Pathania, this is just a blatant attack. It's something we were hoping would come down or stop entirely with the changed status of Jammu and Kashmir. It's not. These attacks continue. What should India do at this stage?
Vishnu, a wolf can never change its spots. But the fact on the ground, which remains that I'll refer to the statement of the Honorable MOS Home on the floor of the Rajya Sabha, which says that the number of attacks...
I'm sorry to interrupt you. There's just some breaking news coming in. Yes. And this is very sad. Rifleman Nishant Malik, the injured soldier in the Rajouri attack, has died. The number of soldiers killed in the attack has now risen to 4. General Moore, would you like a quick reaction as somebody who spent decades in the army? You know, 4 young soldiers dead in this one. Your initial thoughts, I presume, would be for the family and the loved ones.
Yeah, Vishnu, very sad. Bahut afsos hota hai. Soldiers killed in action in this manner. And that too, this is close, about 25 kilometers from Rajouri. It is not even close to line of control, first tier or second tier. And being attacked at 2-3 at night. But
this
let
is
me
the
tell
boy
you,
who's died, sir, killed in action. In fact, this is his picture. This press release coming in just now, sir. It's awful.
I know that we had 3 fatal casualties and 3 were injured who are being treated in the hospital. So we're all praying that these 3 will become all right and get back to their duty. But it's very sad. But at the same time, I must tell you that these things happen, and the terrorists have one weapon in their hand, that is surprise. And they can pick and choose where they will strike. But the manner in which, both the attackers have been killed in this action, and I'm sure investigative agencies, the police and army work hand in hand in this area, SOG, the just total coordination between two agencies. We would know whether they are Lashkar guys, from where are they. Most likely they are Pakistani guys. Whether they have infiltrated today or a couple of days back, it must have been a couple of days back, because to do a Fidain, you need to do a recce of that area. You need to have intelligence, and you find soft target where you feel, you can get a success. So probably they have got, I would say, marginal success. But good thing is we were able to eliminate both of them, yeah. Both the terrorists who attacked this. So very sad.
But at a very high cost.
Coastal Independence Day, we have to be alert.
At a very, very high cost to us as Indians. I mean, 4 young men killed in action in this manner. It's so sad. Ranbir Singh Pathadia, your first thoughts. Again, your thoughts for the family and well-wishers of these 4 young men.
Sir, my heartfelt condolences, and not my, the heart of every Indian goes out to the family of those people who have bravely fought these militant and subversive, and not only militant and subversive, these were Fidain, trained Fidain attacks, and it was a plan to reincarnate a new Uri type incident in Jammu and Kashmir, particularly Rajouri. We salute the outstanding valor and the sacrifice which has been done by these brave soldiers. Our heart, every Indian's heart goes out to the families of the brave soldiers. My respectful submission was that this is not changing its spots, though the situation has considerably changed on ground. The number of militants, they are being neutralized. It has almost doubled, 3-4 to 4-4-4. Since 2019 until now, almost 500 militants have been neutralized in Jammu and Kashmir. If we go to the statement of the Honorable MOS Home on the floor of the Rajya Sabha, yeah, the number of civilian killings have reduced. The number of security forces who used to be the part of such unplanned, yeah, and we could say unseen attacks, they have also reduced. Yeah. And there are no stone paintings, no law and order issues, and no policemen are losing life in law and order issues. But this is a new type of warfare, which is being called as hybrid warfare.
It's not new, Ranbir, it's not attacks. New. It's the same type of warfare. It's been fewer instances in the recent past, but it continues. That's just the point. Yeah. Yeah. It's impossible for us, it appears, to put off the tap on this.
And one thing which we have to admit very frank and forthright. China, what it was doing from behind the scene, now it is out in the open. It is more aggressive now. Second part, that Pakistan, which has been fomenting troubles in Jammu and Kashmir since the past 6 to 7 decades, it has its handlers, it has its conduits, it has its overgrown workers. So I started my argument with the epithet that a wolf cannot change its spot, but we need to bell the cat, we need to bell this wolf.
Right.
We need to ride the tiger now.
Ranbir, just half a second, Irfan's with us as well. And I just wanted, a reaction from Ifrajan. Your thoughts in the run-up to Independence Day. This is the second incident. There was a major encounter in Badgam, fought over 18 hours, and that ended about 24 hours back. And then there was this third instance when about 30 kilos of IEDs were found.
Yes.
If that went off, you know, we could be looking at another Pulwama type situation.
Absolutely. Vishnu, first I would like to, from on behalf of National Conference, send across my condolences to the families, and our official statement is already in out in the public, you know, saying that such kind of barbaric attacks are absolutely unacceptable. And National Conference says this as a political party that has lost thousands of its workers, including sitting MLAs, to such terror attacks. So we know the pain of it. Our families know the pain of it more than anybody else, perhaps. However, when I was listening to Mr. Malik, he said that, you know, the right action was taken when Article 370 was abrogated. Mr. Malik is not around, but my question would be, if there was any connection between terrorism and Article 370, then why are such terror attacks still happening? It's been 90 days since Kashmiri Pandits are sitting on roads protesting, saying that they do not want to live in Kashmir anymore. These are the same Kashmiri Pandits who National Conference, who came back during the tenure of the National Conference because they felt safe. Our governments received around 30,000 applications. So that is the kind of situation on ground. And have you noticed one thing? Before 2019, we used to hear of militant attacks in areas like Shupian, Anantnag, Baramulla. It was primarily South Kashmir, which was the heart of terrorism. Now we see terror attacks are taking place in Srinagar, the heart of Jammu and Kashmir. In Jammu, areas where terror attacks used to happen, you know, rarely. Now, Srinagar has become the hotbed of terrorism. So you also have to see how post-abrogation, the geography of terrorism is changing and unfortunately becoming a lot more dangerous than what it used to be.
Ranbir Singh Pathania, would you like to respond to that? Are we necessarily safer now in Jammu and Kashmir after the abrogation of 370?
Just a one-liner, and I will quote Mark Twain. You need to support the country always, and you need to the government as and when it deserves.
No, we are supporting.
We are supporting the country,
but she has a pointed question, and it's a fact. I mean, and if you dispute what she's saying, say so. Kashmir safer today after 370 or not?
He is touching Article 370, sir. The Article 370, once it was inducted in the Indian Constitution, it was specifically said it is a temporary provision. The then Prime Minister Jawaharlal Nehru also said that this is a temporary provision. He said it on the floor of the Constituent Assembly. The Patriarch of National Conference, Mr. Sheikh Abdullah, was also part of that drafting committee. Narasimha Rao said that ghisti chale jayegi. Morarji Desai said that this has to go one day. Once we had the courage, we had the conviction.
Sir, I'm asking you if Kashmir is safer, yes or no. This is not about the broader context of 370. When 370 was abrogated, one of the key points is that Kashmir and Jammu would be safer. Is my question to you.
Mr. Vishnu, I'm quoting the statement made by the Union MOS Home on the floor of the Parliament, which says that the number of terror attacks, the number of security force damages, the number of, we could say, the militants neutralized, the number of operations, almost 500 militants have been neutralized. The morale of the security forces is on an all-time high. The Hawala channels have been blocked. Such media houses which were trying to play the spoil sport have been...
Sir, then why are Kashmiri pundits on the roads then? It's been three months since Kashmiri pundits are sitting on the road saying that they do not want to live in Kashmir anymore. Why don't you give these statistics to the Kashmiri pundits and tell them everything is fine?
Since 2019 and till now, much water has flowed under River Jhelum as well as under River Tavi. So we have improved. We are in the...
Ranbir, while it's correct, I've got the statistics with me as well. Ranbir, half a second. Please let me say something. While it is true that the number of overall cases have declined since 2018,
the absolute numbers
are still staggeringly high. In a release today, army sources, the security forces sources have shared information with the media, which is the following. 136 terrorists, including 36 foreign terrorists, have been eliminated this year alone. This is a staggering number by any measure. You know? 30 kilos of IEDs have been recovered, I believe, in the last, 48 hours or so. So the point is that it's not safer. It's not. You can say it's better. The number of instances are lower now, and maybe you're statistically correct. But I think the larger issue is, and this is the point, Mr. Pathania, we have not, as a nation, been able to switch off the tap from Pakistan. We have not.
Mr. Vishnu, I use my argument, let us support the country and let us support the government. We need to support the government at this critical juncture without putting set here and there, as my learned friend Mr. Ikra Jan is trying to do and his political party has been trying to do since the past 3 years.
Sir, we need to support the soldiers of this country.
Please support, please stand behind the government. Please don't take issues out of thin air. Please don't try to create mountains out of molehill, madam.
Sir, we need to support the soldiers of this country at this point.
Molehills are there.
BJP government can wait. We need to support the army soldiers at this point. Due to your intelligence failures, they're losing their lives.
We need to have a sense of security in Jammu and Kashmir. This is a record to this season. Madam, Jammu and Kashmir has a record to
this season. Where is that sense of security? The Kashmiri Muslims don't have it.
Not only India, but across the world, they are having a sense of security in Jammu and Kashmir.
Nobody has it. So where is the sense of security?
There is no room to put up in Kashmir. Pakistan will try to destabilize. Pakistan will try.
Then what is our government doing, sir? It's been the BJP government which has been in power.
We need to be resilient.
All right, both of you, one second. Both of you, one second. I just want to... One second,
this
one
is
second.
The madam.
Just
we need
everybody.
To be formed, we need right. to be determined in India.
Can you just, so that I can ask General Moro a question?
And we will ever succeed. This is the parting point.
Sir, one second, sir. One second.
Please.
I need to wrap this up, and I wanted to go to General Moro, somebody who's seen soldiers under his command be killed in action over many decades. Sir, in a situation like this, can you tell us the challenges which young soldiers face in bases like this, which are very close to the line of control, and where this threat keeps coming in from?
Vishnu, I don't know about the two political representatives here, but I was in Poonch in 1989 when the insurgency started. After that, I have served in Jammu Samba sector. I have served in South Kashmir in 36RR. I have seen various phases of insurgency over the last 30 years. So I understand this is a game where cat and mouse game. Sometimes we have an upper hand. They have a choice of attack and this, we are prepared, we are okay. But the question, the larger question you're asking is that these are isolated posts many times. They're company posts. Many times they're just created because of certain threat perception, and they do not have, even General Malik said, talked about it, do not have the kind of perimeter fencing, the light system, security system, which bases should have. We have done it with our headquarters. We have done it with our air bases and other strategic vulnerable points and vulnerable areas. But sometimes these posts, like this particular post, which is in a remote area, and day in and day out, you are patrolling, you are doing duty. There are moments where you can be surprised. So, it's a very tough job, staying away from families, isolated. And you don't know when, especially days like 15th August, 26th January, festivals.
No, these are days when it's so very challenging. And I appreciate that you're making that point. I'm out of time, but I just want to bring in a few views from people who've been watching in. Tamanna says, over the last 6 months, there have been a series of terror attacks. Karan says, was there a bigger planning behind this terror attack? I would suggest that all of these are planned with a certain intention in mind. It's not random at all.